Sattvatma yoni rati vismita ashritobjam. Kalena tivra tapasa parishuddha bhavaha. Tvam atmanisha buvigandam ivati sukshmam. Bhutendriyasha yamayevita tam dadarsha. Ladies, Satvatma Yoni Rativismita Ashritabjam. Kalena Tivrata Pasaji Sutta Bhava. Manisha Bhuvigandam Ivati Sukshmam. Bhutendriyasha Yamayevitatam Dadarsha. Sarvatmayoni Hativismita Ashitogjam. Kalena tivra tapasa parishuddha bhava. Nati sukshmam. Ndriyasha yamaye vitatam dadarsha. Saha.
He.
Lord Brahma.
Tu.
But
Atmajoni,
who is born without a mother, directly begotten by the Father, Lord Vishnu. Ativismitaha, very much surprised, not finding the source of his birth. Ashritaha, situated on. Abjam, the lotus, Kalina, in due course of time, Tivra Tapasa, by severe austerities, Parishuddha Bhavaha, being completely purified, Tvam, you, Atmani, in his body and existence. Isha, O my Lord, Bhuvi, within the earth, Gandham, aroma, Iva, like, Ati Sukshmam, very subtle, Bhuta Indriya, composed of elements and senses. Ashayamaye, and that filled with desires.
The mind.
Vitatam.
Spread out.
Dadarsha.
Found.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Welcome back. Lord Brahma, who is celebrated as Atma Jyoni, having been born without a mother, was struck with wonder. Thus he took shelter of the lotus flower, and when he had been purified after undergoing severe austerities for many hundreds of years, he could see that the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was spread throughout his own body and senses. Just as aroma, although very subtle, is perceived in the earth. Purport. Here, the statement of self-realization, Aham Brahmasmi, which is interpreted by the Mayavad philosophy to mean, I am the Supreme Lord, is explained. The Supreme Lord is the original seed of everything. Janmadi asya yataha, aham sarvasya prabhava, matta sarvam pravartate. Thus, the Supreme Lord extends everywhere, even throughout our bodies, because our bodies are made of material energy, which is the Lord's separated energy. One should realize that since the Supreme Lord spreads throughout one's body, and since the individual soul is a part of the Supreme Lord, everything is Brahman. Sarvam kalvidam Brahma. This realization was achieved by Lord Brahma after he was purified, and it is possible for everyone. When one is completely in knowledge of Aham Brahmasmi, he thinks, I am part of the Supreme Lord. My body is made of his material energy, and therefore I have no separate existence. Yet although the Supreme Lord is spread everywhere, he is different from me. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. An example given in this regard is that of the aroma within the earth. In the earth, there are aromas and colors, but one cannot see them. Actually, we find that when flowers grow from the earth, they appear with different colors and aromas, which they have certainly gathered from the earth. Although in the earth, we cannot see them. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his different energies, spreads throughout one's body and soul, although we cannot see him. An intelligent man, however, can see the Supreme Lord everywhere, can see the Supreme Lord existing everywhere. Adantarakstanu paramanu charyantarakstam. The Lord is within the universe and within the atom by his different energies. This is the real vision of the Supreme Lord for the intelligent man. Brahma, the first created being, became the most intelligent person by his tapasya, austerity, and thus he came to this realization. We must therefore take all knowledge from Brahma, who became perfect by his tapasya.
Satvatmayoni rativismita asritobjam Kale nativra tapasa parishuddha bhavaha Tvang atmanisha buviganda mivati sukshmam Bhutendriyasha yamaye vitatam dadarsha.
Lord Brahma, who is celebrated as Atma Yoni, having been born without a mother, was struck with wonder. Thus he took shelter of the lotus flower. And when he had been purified after undergoing severe austerities for many hundreds of years, he could see that the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was spread throughout his own body and senses, just as aroma, although very subtle, is perceived in the earth.
Om Ajnanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinotaranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna. Thank you for allowing me to serve you. The blessings to all the Vaishnavas. Here, Prahlad Maharaj is glorifying the Supreme Lord, and he's stating that Brahma, who is Atma Joni, who is born without the help of a mother, he could perceive the Lord everywhere, the Darsha. He saw him, but this was impersonal seeing. Even though he perceived the presence of the Lord everywhere, he could not see the Lord's personal manifestation, the Lord's personal form. This is exactly our position. We are also born, and we do not know what is our true origin. Where do we actually come from? And what is our connection? As Brahma was in darkness, in the same way every living entity is in darkness when the living entity appears in this world, because the living entity is incapable of seeing the bigger picture. Srila Prabhupada states here at the end of the purport that we must therefore take all knowledge from Brahma, who became perfected by his tapasya. Tadvigyanartam sagurum eva bigachet. The first and foremost duty of every living entity is to seek out a spiritual master who can guide him in this process of self-realization. Atato brahmajigyasa. To inquire about the true nature of oneself is only possible if we have proper guidance. Otherwise, we cannot be successful in our attempts to achieve that knowledge. So Brahma, he is the original teacher because he received this knowledge directly from Krishna. Tene Brahma Hridayadikavaye. He got this direct instruction from the Lord, and he is imparting this knowledge. Therefore, we are following in the Sampradaya of Lord Brahma. Now, even though Brahma was highly qualified, his body consisted of purified intelligence, he still had to purify his senses. In the same way, we also purify our senses because we have so many desires. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi trivirinya bhakti yogena yajita purusham param. So many desires are there, right? We see, oh, there is Khichri out there, or maybe it's Pungal today. Happy Pungal. It's Makara Sankranti. Maybe I should go here. Maybe I should go there. So many desires are there in the living entity. Now, how to choose which desire we should follow? We have to purify our desire. How do we purify our desire? By aligning our desires with Guru's desire. Because on our own, we will always be persuaded by the flickering mind and the feeble senses who are reaching out to the sense objects. But if we accept guidance from Guru, then our desires can become purified. Sarvapadivinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchite. And we can actually connect with that higher line through
the help of the spiritual teachers. So this is the parampara system that has been given to us very mercifully through Lord Brahma and all the acharyas which are following in line. Guru Mukha Padmavakya Chitete Koriya Aikya. By hearing these instructions that are emanating from the words of the spiritual master, we purify our mind, our intelligence, our desires, and we align ourselves with the mission of the spiritual master. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his purport, he states that he gave up searching and sat down on the lotus by meditating on you through tivra tapasa, or severe austerities. He saw you situated in his body, atmani, just as fragrance is situated in the earth. Now in this purport, Srila Prabhupada very beautifully gives a very succinct explanation of the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy. And he uses this example of the earth and the fragrance. The fragrance is in the earth, but the fragrance and the earth, they're connected. They're inseparable. But at the same time, they're one, but at the same time, they're different. Because the earth is the source, is the origin of the fragrance. The fragrance is not the earth. The fragrance is simply a characteristic, a quality of the earth. Now we may say, earth, what's so special about it? We walk on it every day. We use it in different ways. But what's so special about earth? But earth is actually the substance, the main ingredients. We're here on planet Earth. Bhumi Devi, Prithvi, she is our mother and she is nourishing us, and only through her grace are we actually subsisting. Because without food, we cannot sustain this body. It is not possible. So, many times we take this for granted and we have a not very clear understanding of the earth. So, everything is there contained within the earth. Smell, taste, touch, space, all these different qualities, they are inherent in the earth. So, by appreciating this, we can actually see this in a daily way, that everything is based on the earth and Krishna is present in the earth, because Krishna is present in every atom and also between the atoms. So Krishna is all present. You can't miss him, but that is his impersonal manifestation, his impersonal feature. So it is stated here that this flavor, this fragrance of the earth, it is actually Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, text 9, Krishna says, I am the original fragrance of the earth. I'm the heat and fire, I'm the life of all that lives, and I'm the penance of all ascetics. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada states that punya means that which is not decomposed. Punya is original. Everything in the material world has a certain flavor or fragrance, as the flavor and fragrance in a flower, or in the earth, in water, in fire, in air, etc. The uncontaminated flavor, the original flavor, which permeates everything, is Krishna. So this flavor is very subtle. What does it mean, subtle? It means it's so fine that you can almost miss it. Like when Krishna says, I am the taste of water. Have you ever wondered, so what is that taste, right? You try to figure out, what is that taste of water? What is it? It's so subtle, you can practically miss it. Because scientists say that water is odorless, right? Doesn't have any odor, doesn't have any color.
But have you ever perceived the taste of water? Have you? Yes, every day. Now, what is that taste of water? That's Krishna. That's Krishna's quality. It's very subtle. It's very fine. It's quenching you. It's nourishing you. It's sustaining you. You can't live without it. In the same way, bhakti is also very subtle. And it's also all permeating, but it is so subtle that you can actually miss it. Because even though it's everywhere, it's special. So, what is the essence of the earth? We heard about flowers, and we had flower festival just a few days back. Such a beautiful abhishek and decoration of their lordships. So what is the best? What is the best flower? Some people may say it is rose flower. Some people may say, no, it is jasmine. It is orchid, depending on whatever one likes. What is the best flower? What is the essence of the earth? Which flower does Krishna like the most? Tulsi. What's Tulsi's flavor? It's very subtle. It's very fine. It's very... Have you ever smelled, especially early in the morning, Tulsi's flavor? It's very special, but it's very subtle. It's not something that hits you and you go like, wow, that was a... Not like when you walk by people who have just bathed in these perfumes, you know? And you go like, oh, what was that, you know? I'm hit by something. No, it's very subtle. It's very fine. And what is the essence of Tulsi? Manjari. Tulsi Manjari. She's offering her love, her devotion, her dedication. Vrinda Devi, she is the one who makes the arrangements for Krishna's pleasure, for Krishna's satisfaction. And what is the essence of that? It is Krishna's pleasure. It is the ultimate renunciation. I do not want anything for myself. I do everything for Krishna's pleasure. That is bhakti ras. That is the taste of that bhakti, that supreme renunciation. Vairagya vidanicha bhakti yoga shikshartam eka purusha purana shri krishna chaitanya sharira dari kripambudir yastvam aham prapadye. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya glorified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the epitome, as the personality who is exemplifying these characteristics of renunciation through this process of bhakti yoga, which is there to propagate this mercy, this Krishna consciousness far and wide. So, to give pleasure to Krishna, just like a gardener, when you grow flowers, it takes a lot of work. I know we think flowers come from the store, or flowers, you know, they just appear somehow. But actually, it takes a lot of work. I admire my next-door neighbor, who is a gardener. He also happens to manage the Shruti Bhavan, the youth forum, but actually he's a gardener. And every morning he's there doing his laborious task of taking care of these flowers that he's cultivating for Krishna. But because he's dedicating himself, he's very connected to the earth. So he's very connected. And he's very grounded. He's a very grounded kind of a person. Now, when you deal with flowers, there is a lot of work, and there is also some pricks, especially if you deal with roses. Now, of course, they have grown roses without thorns. They have also grown for a very long shelf life. There's a saying, stop and smell the roses. Have you heard that saying? No.
Anyway, it means, you know, slow down, appreciate the good things in life, etc. But if you stop and smell the roses, and the roses have no smell. Have you ever had that experience? There's just no smell. There's just nothing there. It's just, okay, you can maybe pin it on a wall or pin it on something, but, you know, there's just no smell. So what do? You can still use it for decoration. Or you can take some rose water and you sprinkle it on it. And you think, okay. Because it says in nectar devotion, in deity worship, right? We should not offer flowers without any fragrance. Because many of these flowers are not grown on the earth. I don't know whether you know, but they're grown in greenhouses. In little containers where they get drips of little different chemical solutions. So they grow very fast. And they can be shipped half across the globe and sold for good profit. Now, humans, unfortunately, are also living in a very detached environment, disconnected from Mother Earth, disconnected from the roots. And because of that, because they're also growing up in these greenhouses, in these big cities, they also just look nice, but there's not real much flavor or fragrance or good quality there. But they can still be used in Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada has given us the example. He has gone around the world and he has collected countless living entities from these big cities who are like jungles. And he has strung them all together on the string of the holy name. And he's offered it to Krishna as his offering. And even though some people are so mechanistic, they're so disconnected from any reality, that there is not much flavor, there's not much fragrance, there's not much good quality. But if they come in touch with bhakti ras, with the qualities of devotional service, then by the association of the devotees, these qualities rub off on them, just like the rose water that is sprinkled on roses that don't have any flavor or any smell. Now, if you go to Delhi in Chandni Chowk, there is a merchant, his name is Gulab Singh, and he's selling fragrances. And he has all different types of incense and aromas and perfumes. And his most expensive fragrance is rose oil. And it costs 32,000 rupees for 10 milliliters. It's a lot of money, 500 bucks for a little flask. But if you would ask him, can you sell me some bhakti ras? Can you give me one drop? One drop of that Krishna conscious essence, he won't be able to supply you. Because you must have before you can give. And if you don't have, you cannot give. Not for any price in the world. But that special flavor of Krishna consciousness, of bhakti ras, it is available when we meet devotees who have dedicated their lives to cultivating this process of bhakti, which means to tolerate these pricks, to tolerate these different difficulties and circumstances that are very challenging to please the Lord. Just like Prahlada, the one who is joyful in glorifying and in worshiping the Supreme Lord. How much did he tolerate? How much did he undergo hardship in order to please the Lord by his service and his dedication? Today is also Makara Sankranti, which is the appearance day of Ganga Devi, who appeared in this world for a very specific purpose, to bless everybody and to deliver the living entities. And she had two desires, that there has to be a very powerful personality to catch her powerful forces, her waters. And she was worried, what about the sinful reactions that people will dump in me when they take bath? And she got the blessing that Mahadev, Shiva, would carry her on his head, in his hair, and that the devotees, the sadhus, would bathe in her and thus free her from these sinful reactions that people would leave behind. We are here nourished and sustained by Ganga Devi. All the water, all the vegetation, everything that grows, everything is here because of Ganga. Without Mother Ganga, this place wouldn't be what it is, Navadvip, Mayapur. So we're very grateful for Mother Ganga to appear and to tolerate like a life-giving mother, her children who are doing all kind of things, and to just nourish them with Krishna Bhakti. Today is also the day where Bhishma Dev left the world. He had that boon, that benediction, that he would only die at his own will. So today is the day that he chose to leave this world on Makara Sankranti. And he also had two desires. What were his two desires? Bhishma Dev's two desires were that before leaving this world, he wanted to see Yudhisthira in charge. He wanted to see the Pandavas ruling the earth. That was his desire. And that he could have Krishna's darshan when he left this world. Now he was lying there on a bed of arrows for a long time. And he waited till he got Krishna's darshan. Krishna fulfilled his two desires. He was such a magnanimous teacher, he knew that the only person who can defeat me is Arjuna. But he gave him all his knowledge, all his secrets, even though it was at the risk of his own life, because he knew that this is the best I can do, and this is my contribution. He was not planning and scheming, I should be king, I should be in charge, I should control and manipulate. No, he was happy playing his role, even though he ended up on the wrong side and he had to deal with a lot of adverse situations in his life. But he did so gladly to please Krishna and to glorify his devotees. So, Brahma got perfected. How did he get perfected? By tapasya. Tivra tapasa, severe austerity. Now when we hear this, it's a little frightening. We heard tapasya means heat, it generates heat. Now we may think, oh, heat, that's very nice, right? Right? Would you like a little heat? It's good. But when somebody gives you heat, you know that, I got heat, you know? Like, I got a lot of heat for that. Then it's not so nice, because this can burn you. It can burn you out. You hear this verse and then you think, oh, tapasa brahmacharyena samena cha dhamena cha tyagena satasocha byam yamena nyamenava. One must voluntarily control one's senses, be obedient, serve the spiritual master, and dedicate oneself for his mission. It is inconvenience. So this great heat that is talked about, how can we apply this in our own lives? How can we actually implement this? Srila Prabhupada, in his lecture on this verse here in Mayapur, he said, Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama eva kevalam, kalona steva na steva gatiranyata. By taking up the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chanting Hare Krishna and spreading the holy name, in this way we can actually take up this tapasya, this tapo divyam puttakrayena sadbam shudyet brahmasokyam tvanantam. We can take up this process by practicing the Yuga Dharma of chanting the holy name and distributing it to everybody. So this process has become very easy, Kirtana Deva Krishnasya. It has become very accessible. Now I might think, well, I'm not a rose, I'm not a jasmine, I'm not any of that. What am I? Maybe I'm a cactus, you know. Because the plant adopts to the environment. Because plants are survivors, so they figure out how to survive. Have you ever wondered sometimes, you see waste pipes outside of buildings in India, and there's trees and flowers and stuff growing out of it. So they adapt to the environment. So if you're in a very hostile environment, then the plant also adapts to that kind of nature, like a cactus. You know, it's got a very thick and very hard skin, and there's pricks. But you know that cactus also give very nice fruit and flower? Did you know that? It's actually very sweet fruit. Of course, you need some utensils to actually deal with it, but it's also giving nice fruit and flowers. So if I'm like a cactus, then Krishna is still able to extract the essence, because Krishna sees the essence. He is concerned with the essence that we can offer him. So this bhakti rasa, it is original, and it is not a hybrid. It's not something artificial, but it's something very tangible, very deep, very substantial. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I'm a gardener, but at the same time, I'm also the tree. That is quite bewildering, isn't it? He's saying, I'm the gardener, but I'm also the tree. So, in the same way, all the devotees that are flowers, fruits and flowers on this tree, we can also become gardeners. And we can also take up this tradition of gardening, of spreading Krishna consciousness far and wide by following in the examples of Srila Prabhupada, who traveled far and wide just to find ways and means to help people to become Krishna conscious. We heard that sometimes in New York, Srila Prabhupada would just ride a bus and go all the way to the end, to the last stop and back, and he would just watch and observe the people, how the people would move and talk, and because he wanted to understand what was their mentality, what was their mindset. Now, original can mean that you have to be original, you always have to be new and do something unique and different. But original also can mean that you're connected to the origin, you're connected to the source, and you're following in line of the original preceptor. And that means that a gardener's mentality, a gardener's mindset, we have to balance urgency and patience. The house is on fire. There's a great sense of urgency. But at the same time, as Srila Prabhupada was asked, how long did it take you to perfect your chanting? He said, 40 years. So how do you reconcile the two? This great sense of urgency, and at the same time, this need for patience. How to reconcile these two? Sometimes we are confronted with this dilemma, this seeming dichotomy, especially when we are faced with the mindset which comes from a hustler's nation. You know what a hustler is? A person who tries to hustle you, tries to sell you something, right? Okay, come on now, take this, give me something like that. So, and we've all had that experience of somebody coming trying to hustle us for something. Have you ever had that experience? Or is it just me? One time I came to a temple who is one of the premier temples in our premier hustler nation. And the temple president sold me a modem. It was PCMCI card modem in the late 80s, early 90s. And I said, Prabhu, I have a Mac. I'm not sure this is going to work. He said, no problem. Absolutely. Guaranteed. Okay, I paid him $20.
I put it in, and it didn't work. And I wanted to give it back to him. He said, all sales are final, you know. I said, wow, thank you, really. Thank you very much. You know, it really increases my faith. You just ripped me off for $20. And so sometimes people come and they think, what can I extract from you? What can I get from you? How can I use you for my project? I don't know if you ever had that experience or if it just happens to me. But, you know, you can be sold 10 times a day here in this campus of Mayapur. Sold and resold, you know? Like, it's the cannibalization of ISKCON. Because we're in a small pond here, so everyone's feeding on each other and feeding on each other's ideas and, you know, picking each other's brains. So whenever somebody comes and wants to sell me on something, then formerly I used to get worked up about it, and I used to kind of take it in a bad way. But now I have adopted a new strategy, and I want to share it with you, because you may be in a similar situation, that somebody wants to sell you on something. You know, somebody runs around and they want to enlist you for their cause, whatever their cause may be. I tell them, Prabhu, I really appreciate that. Consider me a long-term investment. Consider me a long-term investment. I may take time, but I really appreciate your input, and I really appreciate your loving concern, and I'm trying to become a better devotee, but it may take time, because I'm like a mountain goat, you know. I grew up in the mountains, so like a cactus, I have some defense mechanism, but I'm working on it, but it's a long-term project. So it takes 10 years before a coconut tree gives fruit or an olive tree gives fruit. 10 years. Do we have that time? Or do we want something in our hand right now? When I came to the temple for the first time, nobody hustled me. Nobody tried to sell me something. But the devotees were very helpful. They were very congenial. They explained everything to me. They gave me japa beads. They gave me a few books. They gave me prasad. All I can remember was giving, 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 giving. People were just giving me so much continuously. And this makes you feel indebted. You feel like, I'm indebted. I got such a great gift that I can never repay. I'm a debtor forever. And this is a great gift, because if we recognize that we are indebted to Prabhupada and to the Guru Parampara, it means that I have an open account with them. And that account is eternal, because I can never repay it. The interest is too much, and I'm continuously taking, so I can't possibly pay it back. So that means I'm connected. I'm connected as a debtor to the Parampara. But it will also enlist some gratitude, where I should try to give something back, try to contribute something to the cause, to also help others take up this process of bhakti. When George Harrison came to Mayapur, he admired the gardens, because there was one devotee from Queens, his name was Kanva. He was a gardener, and it was very beautiful. So he really liked it, and he said, who has done this? And he met the devotee, and he told him, look, I have many estates around the world. And he was really into gardening, George Harrison. He said, I want you to be my chief gardener. Now, how about that? Would you like that, George Harrison, you know, all expenses paid, you're his chief garden architect? But Kanva Prabhu said something very interesting. He said, I have grapes in the drawer and money in the cupboard. All I want is devotional service. All I want is bhakti. And George understood, okay, this guy, you can't get this guy, you can't buy this guy. he's happy doing what he's doing for Krishna. My friend Jai Chaitanya in Los Angeles, he had a book table. And there was a young person, a student, he came. And he picked up all different types of books and started looking through them and putting them back and looking through other books. You know, these kind of erratic kind of people. And he was flipping through the pages and messing with the paper. And he got a little impatient. He was like, can I help you? Like, which one would you like? No, 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 I'm just checking things out. So he was getting a little irritated. But this person was sticking around and just looking through the books and looking through the paper and making noise with the paper. And so after a while he thought, you know, what can I do to connect with this person? Because he's just in his own mind, spinning his wheel. So it was a very hot day, and Jai Chaitanya, he had an umbrella over himself, but that person was just standing near the book table and going through all the books. So what he did was, he just moved that umbrella to the other side. And then that boy said, but you didn't have to do that, you know? You didn't have to do that. And it just touched him. Then he said, so how much are they? And he said, which ones? He said, all of them. All of them. How much are they? And he just took one copy of each book. Not because he had been smashed or defeated, or somebody did a hard sale on him, or somebody showed him how superior his philosophy was. No, he was touched in the heart because somebody cared, because somebody actually connected with him on a platform of Krishna consciousness. 2 days ago, I was in front of Goshala and I stopped three young boys who are students. Two of them are studying Sanskrit, one is studying history to become teachers. So I asked them, so what do you want to become in life? And they said, we want to become like you. It may take us 20 years, maybe a little longer, but we want to become like you. I said, okay, thanks, that's nice. That's a start here. Take the books and, you know, like that. So when people get in touch with devotees, that's the question on their mind. How can I extract the essence? And what is the essence? What is the essence of Krishna consciousness? I have another friend who is having a beautiful farm project for Krishna. I'm not going to mention where it is because I don't want people to go there and mess it up. Every time I go there, he gives me coconut freshly picked from the tree with a lotus stem straw. Did you ever drink a coconut with a lotus stem straw? Don't do it here. I don't want you to go and mess up the lotus lakes and all that, okay? Just, it's a mind exercise. It's out of this world. It's something completely unique. Now, why is it so special? Not just because it's exclusive and it's something one of a kind, but because he has given his life to transform that place, to make that place what it is, and to take care of the few people who work on that farm and are doing their sacrifice for Krishna. So the Chataka bird only takes water from the cloud. The Chataka bird doesn't want water from any other place. But in the cloud there is lightning and thunder, but is ready to tolerate that. So in the same way, when we preach Krishna consciousness, there will be lightning, there will be thunder, there will be pricks of all different kinds, pinpricks and other shortcomings. But we should tolerate them. Prahlad Maharaj captured Lord Nrisimhadev's heart and mind by his surrender, by his devotion, by his dedication. When Durvasa Muni was running from Sudarshan Chakra and he came to Vishnu, said, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, I'm appealing to you. What was Vishnu's reply? I don't have a heart, I don't have a mind. It's gone. It's there with my devotee. I don't have a heart. I don't have a mind. It's there with my devotee. If you want to appeal to my heart or to my mind, you have to go to Maharaj Ambarish. Because he has my heart. He has my mind. And he can give you shelter. But I cannot. So, whether we are a cactus, or we are a greenhouse rose, or we are a whatever, an organic lotus, blue lotus, from an exotic destination, if we come in touch with the pure devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives to propagate this message of Krishna consciousness, then this fragrance of bhakti will rub off on us and it will become our life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relishing the chanting of the holy name in Gambira. And in deep ecstasy he was chanting day and night and hearing the topics of Gita Govinda, of Jayadev, and all the other wonderful esoteric scriptures. But when the devotees came to Puri, he took care of them. He hosted them. He fed them. He performed Sankirtan with them. And he engaged with his devotees in the congregational chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, in gardening there's two rules. You need to take care of your plants, that means tender loving care, TLC. Huh? TLC, tender loving care. The best fertilizer is the shadow of the gardener. The gardener is there every day. It's like another friend here who helps to build TOVP, but actually he's a gardener. We all know who it is. And he's there every day in his garden. But another quality is required. Tender loving neglect. TLN. You have to just leave the plants alone. Don't give him a hard time. Because it takes time. So, there is a sense of urgency, but there is also a requirement, there is also a need for patience. And Srila Prabhupada had those qualities. He exemplified those qualities. And we can imbibe those qualities so that we will also, like Prahlad Maharaj, like Lord Brahma, be able to appreciate Krishna everywhere, in everything, but at the same time, we will also be able to appreciate his unique sweetness, his unique beauty, and his kindness, which is possible by this process of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. If somebody has any questions, I'll be here. Few questions.